What is a chrismon tree? How many of you have Lutheran backgrounds? Come on, fess up. Let's see the hands. After Kelvin and Janice shamed you. But that is something that has spread from, started in the ALC, I believe, even before the ELC, or ALS maybe, and many other denominations have picked it up. But this is a chrismon tree. I never knew what it was. And actually, I asked Tammy to look it up and research it. And I was going to make her preach this message. But I'll save her that. And so, but a chrismon is a Christ monogram. Chrismon. It's a symbol representing Christ. And from the source of all knowledge, Wikipedia, the chrismon tree was first used by North American Lutherans back in 1957. A lady named Frances Kip Spencer in 57 thought that let's not celebrate the commercialism and the colored lights, and so wanted to decorate a tree with white and gold. And Christmas tree, you know, has always been a symbol of Christmas, evergreen, the eternality of our Savior, the eternal life that we have in Jesus Christ. But the chrismon tree differs, that it's decorated only with clear lights and chrismons, Christ monograms, made from white and gold material. The latter two, white and gold, are the liturgical. So when we have Advent, yeah, that's part of the liturgical. Some of you remember, you followed the church liturgical calendar, which Advent is, we honor some of that. I like history and tradition. But white and gold are the purity and majesty of God and Christ. And the chrismon tree has all these, ours are little white pillow type things, ancient symbols for Christ or some part of Christ's ministry. So a good way to teach, especially kids, who is our Savior. And so we are going to get to know our Savior, his person and work, on this second Sunday by going to use our little tree over here. As Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isn't that a wonderful promise? So some examples of chrismon that we don't have, but the Star of David, for example, which represents on a chrismon the 6 days of creation, or Jesus, of course, as the Davidic king, the Jewish descendant of David. The Alpha and Omega symbol. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Jacob's well, which the witness of the Messiah to those Samaritans. And also living water, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, living water instead of just material. Lilies of the valley. The white is for the purity, and if you know what a lily looks like, the head is drooping for the humility of Christ. And, oh, by the way, in Israel, well, or wherever they bloom, they only sprout during the spring time. The Tau cross with a saint. A Tau is a T with a snake over it. That's Moses lifting up the serpent to save Israel. You remember that? And John 3:14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." I like that. Of course, the Israelis later were worshiping the snake and called him Nehushtan. Isn't that like sin is worse than we think it is? We can take something good and make that an object of our worship. The anchor, go Navy. Jesus is the anchor of our faith. The shepherd's staff. Jesus, one of the readings, our Isaiah 40 reading, but talks about, you know, the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus is a shepherd and a symbol for the first witnesses of the birth. You know, lowly shepherds, where the Annunciation was given to lowly shepherds, you know, who were despised members of society. The dove, peace, and the Holy Spirit. The lamp, the Word of God, like Psalm 119 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." A ship, go Navy. But it was a symbol for the Christian church carrying the faithful to heaven. And if you're Roman Catholic, they took that a little far. Old dead guy named Cyprian said that the Christian church is a ship. And only if you were in that ship, meaning the Catholic church to him, were you those the only ones that were going to be saved. Now, it is true that only members of the body of Christ, the church universal, are going to heaven. Go Navy. The lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so then now I'm going to summarize almost the whole Christmas story and redemption using our tree, some of our ornaments. So right up at the top, I won't be able to point, but up under the angel is a triangle representing the Trinity, the one true triune God, God in three persons, but one in essence. That is something unique to Christianity. That's why all other religions, Christianity is not a religion, I would argue, but all other world faith systems are necessarily false, because we believe in the one true triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The star, there's many different stars, but the star of Epiphany, which means a glorious manifestation. Some of you in some of your traditions, on January 6th, you celebrate Epiphany in Orthodox churches, but that's the birth of the Savior. The star over the Bethlehem star that shone. Also, it can refer to Numbers 24, where I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. So that's one of the names of Jesus, the star of Jacob. A bell, the joyful noise of God's presence, and also the bells and pomegranates that were around Aaron's robe when he ministered in the Holy of Holies, so people could hear him ministering on their behalf. There are some interesting traditions that have sprung up around why those bells. And Giles told me one I had never heard about, the frequency of the bells, kept the high priest. I mean, imagine, this is where God dwells. We know that's not true, but that's where God told them, the Holy of Holies. And so when the high priest, only one day a year, was that one guy allowed in there, they wanted to make sure that he didn't have a heart attack. So the lyre, or harp, so David and his musical ability, praising the Lord. The angel, which we have the angel on top. The messengers of God, of course, announcing the birth, and then they also announce the resurrection. And the second coming, the angel will blow the trumpet announcing the second coming. The manger, what do you think that stands for? But the manger, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. So the manger in Bethlehem, the beauty of that story, little baby Jesus, but we forget that is God, who the eternal Son, he's always been God, but he added humanity to his deity. So Jesus has always been fully God, but he also now is fully man, so he could be our Savior. Folks, that's as President Trump would have said, that's huge. The Maltese cross, that's sort of the, you know, the German-looking cross, but that's four spearheads touching in the center, and the 8 points on the outside represent the Beatitudes, the 8 Beatitudes. It is also the emblem in church history, the emblem of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of the Messiah, announcing that Jesus was coming from Isaiah. The cup represents God's forgiveness represented at communion. Also, the cup of suffering, Jesus, God, the Son, our Savior. If possible, Father, let this cup pass from me, the suffering, the real suffering that Jesus took on your behalf and my behalf. It also can represent the wrath of God, which will be poured out, deserved wrath of God for sin. And Revelation especially talks about the wrath of God in a cup. The butterfly, just a symbol for resurrection. You know, three stages of butterflies, or the, you know, the death, then the cocoon, then out comes a butterfly after the moth has done that. The fish. Go Navy. No, but the Greek word, you know this, Greek word for fish, ichthus. Each of those letters, is that an anagram? I don't know what the, you know, but each letter, ichthus, stand for Jesus Christ, God, Son, Savior. So, you know the story about ancient Christians would use a lot of these symbols, but a fish was easy to draw. So in secrecy, you know, they one Christian to announce they were Christians, because they could get in trouble for that. One would draw one half of the fish, and then the other would draw the other half. Sort of a secret handshake for being a Christian. And then finally, I think David and Dominic helped me with this. We have two crowns. We got to have a double crown. But the kingship of Lord Jesus. So that little baby is, and we already talked about this back at the beginning of the month, he is the King Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Also, there are versions of the crown of thorns representing, once again, the suffering, the payment for sin that we deserve, that we escape because of what Jesus did for us. And also, that crown looks to that second advent that we are preparing for. Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So, hope you got some out of that. I thought, when I think, Kate, weren't you the first one? I was like, what is that ugly tree up there?
And a few others.
Well, I blame you, because I thought it was an ugly tree. I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. We better keep it up here. But once I found out what it was, I hope you agree, that's pretty meaningful. And so you Lutherans, I think even you guys might make it into heaven. So anyway, thus endeth the lesson. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for even teaching tools that we can use even with our kids to share the message of what Christmas is all about. Thank you that we can have a chrismon tree and be here to worship you and proclaim your name all around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.